welcome to this episode of Marvelous Mouth Talk. I'm your host, Marcella Zimmerman, and I'm joined today by Aaron Tudemeyer.
Greetings.
Stacey Johnson.
Hi, how are you?
Betsy Miller.
Hello from Idaho.
As always, this podcast is brought to you by MarvelousMouthTravels.com. We're creating marvelous memories one family at a time. In this episode, we'll discuss everything you need to know before planning your next Alaskan cruise. Hi, ladies.
Hello.
Hi.
I loved Betsy's hi from I'm high from Ohio, but that was great.
I'm high from Florida, so very far from Alaska.
And the sun is still here. It's still up. You're probably dark and cold.
Yeah. Yes. Cold here.
Yeah.
Dark. Maybe not so cold, but definitely dark here.
So today we are going to talk about Alaskan cruises. And there's so much out there to really discuss about this, and it's such a broad topic at the same time. But I want to hear from you guys. What is your favorite port that you can sail to from Alaska?
I don't know if that was mentioned, but of course, whale watching in Juneau.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So I think we just solidified the fact there are a lot of places to go in Alaska. So we are going to give you just a couple of options when it comes to Alaska cruise tours. Definitely a situation where you're going to want to reach out to your Marvelous Mouth travel agent and help you to figure out which is the best option for you, because there are so many options. We want to make sure we find the right option for you. So guys, let's talk a little bit about the basic three. So you've got an out and back, maybe four stops, typically out of what, Seattle and
Vancouver.
Yep. So you're going to start and end at one of those two spots, a northbound or a southbound, which typically you're going to start either in Vancouver or Stewart. Then you have your cruise tours, which is a combination of that northbound or southbound cruise, and then the land portion. So we'll talk about that a little bit later, because that is the ultimate if you have the time to do it and really kind of get even a little further north into Alaska. It's just absolutely amazing. So let's start with the basic and out and back. Pros and cons.
Well, you can sail out of Seattle without a passport. True, not recommended, but you can do it.
So yeah, so obviously there's going to be a Canada stop no matter what. On every cruise, you're going to have a Canada stop. And if you would need to fly home from Canada, you're definitely going to need to have your passport. Even to drive home from Canada, you would need it for that. But other than that, you're mostly going to be in the States. How many stops typically would you say, like four on a Alaskan cruise?
I'd say four. Yeah. So on occasion, you can get five, but typically we see four.
Yeah. So and it's always different.
One of the days, usually they're spending at the glacier, and that's kind of considered even like an excursion day, you know, like a day that you're, even though you're not really stopping and getting off.
Yeah. So to me, the best thing in the world about a cruise like this is obviously you're flying into one port, you're flying home from the same port. And then the other thing is time. If you really want to have your family experience Alaska, but we all know sometimes it can get really hard if you have kids to find time between, you know, baseball season's not over and, you know, football season's about to start. And this one has to get to band camp, and you have 4th of July in between, and you're trying to find a week of summer vacation for everyone. Sometimes you don't have a lot of time. So being able to do just that, you know, 1 week in and out, sometimes that's all the time you have. So it's not a bad option.
Right. And it gives you just really a great flavor of how majestic and big everything is in Alaska. Like the pictures don't do it justice. And doing a cruise in Alaska is so different than, you know, when you're in the Caribbean, because you're seeing land so much of the time. It's just a very different experience.
So our family, we're doing the Royal Caribbean cruise this summer, and we chose the round trip one, not a northbound or a southbound, but the out and back. Mostly, again, to your points earlier, I have a young son. It's the logistics are just so much easier. And, you know, you're in that fully integrated environment, but still experiencing all this majestic beauty. And so it's just really great that you are able to experience Alaska, but yet not have to trek all your luggage around and go to various different ports and, you know, taking the train to different parts of the country, which is so amazing. But I think, you know, with kids is just a little bit harder to accomplish.
Exactly. Exactly. And then the other thing is, if you're doing a north or a southbound, yes, you're getting more days, you're getting more ports, and you're going further up into Alaska, but you're typically going to be flying into, if you're on a northbound, you're going to be flying into Vancouver. On a southbound, you're typically going to be flying home from Anchorage. So it's two one-way flights that you're looking at, but you get to go so much further into Alaska and you get more stops. So you're not backtracking and going back to where you were already at. You've got the same 7 days, but there's a couple more logistics that you need to take, you know, into consideration. Another reason that an agent can kind of help you figure out those logistics as well.
Right. And all right, your agent will remind you too that there's only certain months you can do Alaska sailing.
Depending the time of the year, like earlier in the season, you're going to see more different types of whales. Mm-hmm. Late in the season, depending on how far north you go, you have a better chance of seeing the northern lights. So there's different price points for different parts of the season, but season typically starts in May and ends in September, and cruise tours typically beginning of June to the end of August. You typically, if you do go into September or May, it's just by like a week if you're doing those cruise tours.
Yeah, and I really like with the cruise tours, I know some clients like to start with Alaska and then kind of relax, you know, the land portion of the cruise tour and the national parks, and then relax on the second portion. I feel, you know, I've had clients that love kind of the big event. You know, you're building up to that land tour portion. And so that's what I book most often in terms of those land cruise tours, is that, you know, they end with going to Denali for a couple of days, and then you depart out of Stewart, do the land portion, and then, you know, you'll typically fly out of Anchorage, as we had previously mentioned.
Yeah. And I love that idea because it really, to me, gives you the opportunity sometimes when you get off the boat to even do something in Stewart before you go on to that next portion. And really, that second portion can be as short as 3 days or as long as a full week. You can do, if you have the time, more than just a few days on the land portion of the cruise tour. I think for me, the biggest things is, you know, most cruise tours go into Denali, but you know, it's like, do they do the Tundra tour? Do they do the historic tour? So I like to break down the different tours that they do and talk with my clients and figure out which one's best matched for them. And then there's a second national park that a lot of people don't realize you can also go to on cruise tours, and it's the Kenai Fjords. And so you can actually hit two national parks.
Yeah, where is that one?
So it's not as far north as Denali. Basically, a lot of the excursions are water-based excursions. But mm-hmm. It's absolutely beautiful. And it's something that not everybody thinks to hit. But once you see that extra day or two that you can add on and hit that second national park, you will not regret it. You will be like, yes, okay, I'm going to stay that extra 2 days. Obviously, all cruise ships are different, and we have a lot of podcasts that talk about the nature of the different cruise lines, whether it's, you know, Princess or Royal or Celebrity or Disney, and, you know, there are almost personality differences between the cruise lines, but with the cruise tours, it's also important to understand the differences. I always vote two national parks. Speaking of all the different cruise ships, there are a few specific lines that go to Alaska over the summer. We've mentioned Disney, we've mentioned Princess, we've mentioned Royal Caribbean, we've mentioned Celebrity. Can you guys give a little bit of a personality type that goes to some of the lines that you've traveled?
Disney Cruise, it's fantastic for families. It gives you an opportunity to adventure together with your family. I just kept being amazed that I'm with my family and I'm not on a cruise like out in the Caribbean where it's warm. Like, it was just such a cool thing to be with my family in like a different climate scene land all the time. And you've got all these family friendly activities, and they have excursions that younger kids can go on too. We could pet sled dogs. That was really cool for younger kids. Go on the train. And I think a lot of the cruise lines have the similar excursions, but I was grateful that there was opportunities for the kids to do stuff.
I think Disney is amazing with families. Disney is what we've cruised the most. And we chose Royal Caribbean mostly because we like the size of the ship. It's a smaller one. So it goes into these more intimate areas. Also, you know, the price point. Obviously, I'm a family of five. And so cruising with five on Disney is amazing. And we do Disney all the time. But we are also going to Europe this summer. So it was kind of like, what else can we do? And so Royal was offering this amazing sale. So I was like, you know what? We're going to book an Alaskan cruise through Royal. So I also think that if it's a choice between Disney and not going on a cruise, there's other great family options that are out there. Of course, Disney is my ultimate favorite and I would choose that in a heartbeat. But, you know, the price point is definitely something to consider as well, too. One thing that I recommend for my clients, especially those that are maybe without families, is Celebrity. Celebrity has this amazing kind of wellness program that they build into their itineraries. And so that is one that I personally sell a lot of. And just having that experience and staying in the aqua class and just the food and the culinary experiences that you get on Celebrity, I think is one of the reasons why I book that the most, and because they also offer the land tour package. So that's one that I just think is really amazing that isn't really well known when it comes to Alaska. You know, I think a lot of people know of Royal Caribbean and Princess and of course Disney, but I tend to push Celebrity for my clients that are traveling without kids.
There's also Holland America and Viking, and Holland America does have smaller ships too, as well as Viking. So it's so interesting because every demographic is going to want something different. Your agent is going to help you decipher which one is going to fit your personality the best.
Exactly.
And that's why I think it's so important to call an agent, because you have that knowledge, you have that personal experience, you've been on these ships. And so you can say, for this particular experience, you would really love this type of cruise, or I really recommend a land tour. And you just say, you know, I think you all would enjoy that. And so I think for any other type of cruise, I definitely think that Alaska is one that you definitely want to work with an agent, because what side of the ship is your stateroom going to be on? Well, there's a big difference between northbound and southbound when it comes to what side of it. Do you want to be port or starboard? So that's something that your agent can talk you through.
Yes. And if you don't use an agent, you have to figure out the difference between port and starboard, because they don't call it left and right. I agree with you guys. And, you know, sometimes I even find that my clients who are, you know, maybe they're loyal to Royal and they look at the itineraries and they're like, you know what? I love the itinerary on Disney or Celebrity. And so for this particular cruise, I'm not looking for the iFly and the rock climbing wall. I want something that's mostly glass, and I want something that fits into the small places, and I want to see this particular space. Right at the beginning, how many different places did we shout out that you can go to visit when you're in Alaska if you're doing a cruise or a cruise tour? So, you know, narrowing down those things would certainly have an effect on which itinerary you choose and which ship that you choose.
I just think that Alaska is not all about which ship, it's about the destination. So I think it's just a different feel.
Yes, I agree wholeheartedly. So let's talk about the weather, because we talked a little bit earlier. Stacey, were you saying that it was interesting to be in a cold weather climate, but on a cruise ship?
I was talking about that too. Yeah, it is. It feels weird to be like wearing sweatshirts and sweatpants.
Yeah, I'd say jeans and a sweater and like a lightweight raincoat was kind of like my uniform of the week, because it can get a little misty. I mean, these northern climate cruises, making sure that you bring a sweatshirt and even some heavier coats. So our excursion in Haines, we're going to be rafting through the Bald Eagle Reserve, and you will get wet. It's going to be cold. So you've got to have like a, you know, almost like a ski parka type of jacket when you travel to these cold weather destinations.
I always joke around that you should pack for an Alaskan cruise like you live in the Midwest. Lots of layers. Always pretend like it's going to be raining and sunny and really hot and really cold all in one day, and you've got yourself covered.
I mean, even though it's cold too, it's nice because the pools are usually heated. And so then you're able to kind of enjoy a little bit of that, because you're like, you're vacationing, you want to get in the pool or the hot tub. That's actually a cool experience. I remember on our Holland America one, we're sitting out on the hot tub and we were watching black bear or no brown bears go by. And I'm like, are you kidding? This is amazing. So you never know.
It's so funny that you should say that, because the other destination that I went to that was similar to Alaska in the fact that it was more about the destination than the ship was Europe. And I don't know that I actually went into the pool or the hot tubs the entire time I was on board.
Really?
Those are both very similar in that they're port intensive cruises. You will have at least one or two days of cruising. And we just did Northern Europe last summer. And so my son did go down the aqueduct on Disney and was in the pool for like 15 minutes. We did everything on the Lido deck, having our ice cream cones and sitting there and watching movies. But typically, you know, you think of a cruise as spending a lot of time in the pool. I did not want to go in the pool. Like, it was just, you know, it's just you're moving and it's kind of cooler weather. And I did see a lot of kids in the pool, though.
There's so many different types of people who enjoy Alaskan cruise, which is my next question. Who would enjoy an Alaskan cruise?
The thing is some people think, oh, I don't want to go to Alaska on a cruise. That sounds weird. Like, you don't know until you're there.
For sure.
And I mean, well, it's the nature. So anyone that likes nature, outdoors, it's just so beautiful. This wilderness and these, you know, these glaciers and you have the ability, like I said, you can go canoeing in the glacier and you can do rafting, whale watching. Who doesn't love whale watching? And just when those humpbacks, when they do the breach and it's, you can hear the sound of their blowhole blowing. It's like, it's so moving. And just thinking like, this is just here on this earth, you know, and we forget about that because we're all so busy in our day to day and just kind of going about your day, you know, your jobs. And then just to be immersed in this beautiful nature, it's just awe-inspiring.
I love when the whales come up together at the same time. They're like traveling together and they come up and you're like, oh, they're happy. They're playing. They're together. And I also love like whale watching when you see them and you're like, you're not sure like where they're going to pop up next. So you're just scanning the horizon and sometimes it's closer. Sometimes it's further away from you. What an experience. But you know what? There's some people who love nature and would really enjoy like that tundra tour of Denali and, you know, going into the fjords and stuff like that. What about the things for people who are like, I want a taste of Alaska, but I'm not too naturey? What are some of the excursions you do in Alaska when you're like, I want Alaska light?
I think that's a great question. So one of the things that I highly recommend is the train in Skagway. So that's like Alaska light. You're on this train, you're seeing this beautiful nature, but yet you're not hiking, you know? So it's kind of, it's just that nice way to have that, you know, historic experience. I've had clients that really enjoyed the lumberjack show. Of course, the dog sledding is, you know, and going to those dog sledding camps is just a wonderful experience as well too. So in Sitka, I really enjoyed the bear rescue. So it's called Fortress of Bear. And then we also went to the Raptor Rescue Center. So that's one excursion called like the Best of Sitka, where you go and you can see some whales, you can see some bears, you go to the Inner Harbor, and then you go to the Raptor Center. But for me, like even just walking around these cute little fishing villages in Sitka down there, they have an artist shop where all the local artists bring their local wares and you can buy photos and paintings and glassware. In fact, I have a trivet that I'm using right now, which is from Sitka, Alaska. So even if you aren't out there experiencing the nature, these little villages are just the cutest things you've ever seen.
Well, and that's the thing. How many times do you go on a Caribbean cruise and you go to the thing at the beginning and it tells you all the different places that you can shop? A lot of people who like to cruise like to shop. Ketchikan, Juneau, Skagway, all places where you can shop. As you already mentioned, some of it is for things that you can only get in Alaska. And, you know, sometimes it's art and sometimes it's jewelry and sometimes it's souvenirs. So, you know, you've got the Alaska light side of a lot of these excursions as well, which brings me to what's really popular right now. Not only is Alaska popular right now, hugely popular, but multi-generational trips. And multi-generational trips to Alaska gives everybody the option where, you know, everybody can get during the day to do all the different excursions that they want to do. And then in the evening, you gather together around a table and you all talk about your experiences in your days. What better way to do that than contacting your travel agent and saying, hey, this is what I want to do, but I want you to deal with Aunt Sally, and I want you to deal with my dad, and I want you to deal with my sister, and I just want you to put us all together, and this is where I want to go, and let them be the one to contact everybody, and let them be the ones to help everybody figure things out so that, you know, whoever your person is who's, you know, decided this would be fun doesn't have to take, you know, all of the pressure of putting it all together, you know?
Agree. I have a family going in June, and they have great grandparents all the way to young ones. And so it's so wonderful that they are able, and in fact, there's some cousins surprising other cousins. So I've kept it really quiet versus working through that travel agent. You can certainly, you know, kind of do it on the side so that not everyone is fully aware of who's going to be there. And then they're going to surprise each other on a cruise ship. So that's just really amazing. I think the total number of people traveling with them is like 16. So just super amazing. And I'm just so excited to be part of that planning experience with them. Also, just the logistics, where are you going to stay the night before? And, you know, contacting a travel agent can help deciding what kind of flights, especially if you're going to do a land tour. And how do you get to Anchorage, and what does that look like? And, you know, a one-way cruise is different logistically with flights. Having that travel agent there to help you plan your pre-cruise stay, if you want to do a post-cruise stay, if you want to do a land tour, your flights. And many of us will also help decide which excursions you should consider doing. So which one is the best port for whales? Well, depends kind of on which whales you want to see. So I always usually recommend Juneau and then build it with the glacier tour. There's just a lot of information that can be really overwhelming if you're trying to plan this on your own.
Well, I want to kind of wrap things up as we're leaving everybody with some parting words. Stacey, why don't we start with you? Give me something that you loved about Alaska.
Gosh, I think getting to meet the people and the culture, everyone is just so wonderful. I felt like I was fully integrated in those experiences.
Betsy, I'm going to pick your brain. Something, and I know it's hard when you're talking about fantastic trips you've taken and saying, just tell me one thing. Tell me something that you love about Alaska.
I love the rich history of finding out
about how people mined for gold and going on that Skagway train and seeing the trail that people walk to go mine gold. I was mind blown by that and had no idea about it. Like, I learned and I'm on vacation. I love that.
So yeah, being immersed in a culture, learning about a culture, learning about our history, it's part of our country, just phenomenal reasons to go to Alaska. As always, we encourage you to reach out to us at Marvelous Mouse Travels. We want to help you plan these fantastic getaways, these memories that you're making with your family, whether it be your own family or your extended family. We have some people who really know Alaska, and we can help to make that trip a fantastic trip. So thank you so much for joining us today. Thank you, Stacey.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Betsy.
Bye from Idaho.
And this is Erin from Ohio saying thanks so much for joining us.